Hello, this is Satyan Raja, and you're listening to News for the Soul. Be open in your mind, your body, your being. Allow yourself to drench in this awesome information to evolve you to your next place.
Did you know that News for the Soul is home to the largest totally free life-changing audio resource on the World Wide Web? And did you know that journalist and single mom Nicole Whitney is single-handedly making this freely available for you to hear? That's why your support is critical to help keep News for the Soul totally free. You can help in several ways. Firstly, you can tell everyone you know about News for the Soul. So many people out there still do not know about this totally free life-changing resource. So do us, yourself, and your friends a favor and pass it on today. Secondly, financial support for News for the Soul helps keep the show going. Whether it's through advertising, donations, or purchases of our exclusive audio and video packages, like the one and only Spoon Bending Kit, which will teach you how to bend metal with your mind for real. This support helps keep us on the air. Go to newsforthesoul.com now to find out more. We invite you to help us help the world, and thanks for tuning in. It's listeners like you who have made News for the Soul the number one life-changing talk radio show in the world, according to Google and AOL. Together, we are already making a difference in our world. So thank you for listening, and thanks in advance for your support. Now, let's get back to the show.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. It's Thursday, June 21st, 2007. I'm Nicole Whitney, your host for the hour, and my guest, he's back after a long time away. Daryl Anka, who channels Bashar, is back, and we're going to be talking about my favorite alien, Bashar, who he channels and has done so for many years, and also a big event happening this weekend in L.A., but you can attend from anywhere in the world. I'll be there. Stick around to hear from Bashar and find out more about that. This hour, here we go now to our interview with Daryl Anka and Bashar. I was looking in the archives of News for the Soul, and you know, it was 2002 when you and I last talked.
Wow, it's been that long.
Yeah, it's been that long because it's been several years. Alrighty then. So let's start with, why don't we talk about what has Bashar and you been doing for these last several years?
Well, I mean, pretty much the same. I'm sure his information has gone hand in hand with whatever changes or accelerations he's perceived have happened on the Earth. He has often talked about the fact that the changes that happen here are what they go by in terms of their ability to interact more openly with us. So I know he's been keeping tabs on on anything that he feels will result in more opportunity for interaction and contact to occur in hopefully the near future. So a lot of the information, I think, has been advancing along with that. Some things have been more powerful in terms of some of the exercises and meditations he's been giving. They go deeper, get us to get in touch with deeper issues, to process them more rapidly, and so on and so forth. And I think that, you know, as we get used to the information he has delivered, then of course, you know, they feel we can sort of graduate to more complex, you know, information and deeper understanding.
So is that the eventual goal of this contact, is actual contact?
Well, I think it's more than just contact. I think the eventual goal is also to help us change our reality in the way that we say we wish to. I think it's, you know, more important to them that we have the kind of world we want than it is for actual contact to occur. But I think definitely part of the goal is contact, which they feel will enhance them as well as us. They sort of look at, you know, the idea that more people involved together, working together from different civilizations, helps everyone. So I think it's a multi-leveled kind of goal.
Now, you channel Bashar from somewhere. Where is he from?
He has said that, well, he's in a different, I guess, parallel universe or dimensional plane, but in their reality, they're just as physical to themselves as we are in our reality. I guess he has said if you overlap our physical universe with their universe, their civilization, their solar system, so to speak, would be about 500 light years in the direction of the Orion constellation. They cannot see our system in their, from their reality. They have to make a vibrational shift to come into our dimension to perceive us physically, and we would have to do the same in order to physically perceive them, but there is an overlap. And their world in their ancient language, which they no longer use because they're telepathic, is called Esasani, which means place of living light. And they do have a physical world that we could actually visit if we made a shift to their reality.
Has he ever told you what he looks like?
Yes, he has described himself quite often on several occasions, and in actual fact, in when I do the channeling, and sometimes in dreams, I will actually visually see what they look like, see what they're describing. They are, as they describe themselves, a hybrid race, which means they're made up of, in a sense, artificially from genetic material from humans and other species. But he's described himself as humanoid, about 5 feet tall, relatively thin, very white skin, very large eyes, no hair on the head of the males. The females do have hair, so it tends to be white, although there are some exceptions. He has said that probably the closest physical analogy we might make on Earth would be to think of a very short, very thin, very pale sort of Mongolian person.
Hmm. Well, there's the visual. And why, out of all the dimensions and universes and probably, you know, forms of life out there in reality, why here, why us?
Well, again, we are actually genetically connected to them, according to what he's explained. Many people have been talking for years about things like alien abduction and the Greys and so on and so forth. And some of the abductees have mentioned that they've seen from time to time hybrid beings or babies that have ostensibly been created by combining the genetic material of humans with the genetic material of the Greys. Bashar explains that his civilization is one of those hybrid species offshoots. So, in a very literal sense, we are their cousins, we are their ancestors, and therefore they feel they have a bond with us. And understand what we're going through in terms of this time of transition on our planet, and are willing to help us because we're basically family.
How does Bashar term it as far as what is this transition going on our planet right now?
Well, he certainly sees it as a general spiritual awakening. He sees that more people are involved in the idea of exploring their spirituality, exploring different levels of consciousness. People are beginning to realize that, you know, we're not alone in the universe, that there are other intelligences out there. We're expanding our concept of what it means to be alive on Earth, and that we are connected to other beings, other intelligences throughout the universe, both just physically and also on a deep spiritual level. And as he's explained it, when any civilization begins to open themselves up in that way to spiritual exploration and to their connection to creation, it sort of sends out a signal to them and other species that we're sort of ready for the next step. They treat that as an invitation to come and in whatever way will not directly interfere with our process to help us gently up that ladder with whatever information will be of best help to us.
Now, I know we covered
some... we're right at a threshold, according to him. Mm. We're really crossing into a whole new reality, a whole new level of being where not only will we hopefully have more understanding of ourselves as consciousness, as spiritual beings, but we'll also be able to interact with other consciousnesses as a result of our own expansion.
Well, that sounds promising and fun. I know we've covered some of...
hope so.
Yeah. I know we covered some of the Bishar basics of years ago when we talked to you, but for the hundreds of thousands of new listeners we've acquired since then, why don't we talk about how you first encountered Bishar?
Yeah, well, it began really about 33 years ago when I had two very close broad daylight UFO sightings here over Los Angeles where I live. And both times an equilateral black triangle, first time about 150 feet away and the second time only about 60 or 70 feet away. And that experience, the experience of seeing broad daylight UFOs with witnesses at close range, got me moving in the direction of doing a lot of research on UFOs, because now that I had seen that those kinds of things were real with my own eyes, I wanted to find out more about them, and that kind of research eventually led me to different kinds of metaphysical books on psychic phenomena, on channeling, on all sorts of different things. And 10 years after the sightings, I actually was introduced to a channel who was working at that time. And after listening to the information coming from the entity through that channel for a while and feeling that it had a lot of good advice to offer, the entity actually offered to teach channeling for whoever was interested. And I went into the class not expecting to become a channel. It was just part of my continuing research. But about halfway through the 12-week course, different kinds of odd sort of symptoms began happening to me and different kinds of weird sort of events. And at one point in the class, I got a telepathic hit during a meditation that sort of brought back a memory of having made an agreement somewhere before this life to do this with Bishar, and that we were sort of part of the same soul, and that if I was ready to begin, he could actually make a telepathic connection with me and start speaking. And I had to think about that for a while because I didn't know if I was hallucinating or if it was a side effect of the meditation or what it was. But ultimately, after thinking about it for a while, I realized that it really didn't matter if it was really an alien entity, something separate from myself, or if it was just another part of my own consciousness, that the channeling state was a real state that people could get in, and that in that state they were somehow capable of tapping into, you know, the greater source of information in the universe and bringing information through that could help people. And it was for that reason I decided to just go ahead and see where the channeling would lead, and now here we are 23 years later, and I've been all over the world with Bishar delivering his information.
Mm, well, and thankfully so, because it's good stuff. Now,
thank you.
Bishar's energy is big.
Yeah, he's very direct. I often describe, it took me a while to actually get used to the energy shift that would happen when the channeling would occur, and sometimes I describe it as trying to fit Hoover Dam through a garden hose. But after a little while, after a couple of years, I did get used to the energy, and the more I trusted it, the more I let go and surrendered to that experience, then the more energy of his was able to come through. But when people are actually physically in a session with him, they often comment on how powerful the energy is that does come through, and I think it's an indication, a small indication, of exactly the level of existence they live on, the great energy that they actually give off. The frequency of their reality seems so much higher than ours, and that when they give that energy off, it's actually in some ways helping to invite us or induce us to match that frequency, and that's what in turn helps, along with the information, raise our vibrational level to something more closely matching theirs.
Mm-hmm. Entrainment.
Which is part of the process of uplifting us.
Right. Well, it's quantum physics, not airy-fairy foo-foo stuff anymore for us.
No, that's the one thing I really like about Bishar's information, is it's very grounded, very sort of down-to-earth, so to speak. He has a very unique way of taking metaphysical concepts that are a little bit vague and translating them into very usable physical tools that create a physical result, so that we really understand that what's being talked about here is physics, and that creating our reality is a matter of really just understanding frequencies and how to change and shift our frequencies into those that will attract the realities that we want. So he's very good about explaining how that works from what I guess a lot of people would say is kind of a physics point of view.
And it always amazes me how quickly and instantly the information comes through.
Well, again, that's simply the result of years of practice. In the beginning, the first couple of years, a lot of times the information was a little bit more halting. It was a little bit more effort to bring the information through and allow myself to trust myself that the translations were coming through clearly. But, you know, after 23 years now, it's really almost second nature, and the bond that's formed between us has allowed me to simply really just relax and sort of get out of the way and just let the information come through as smoothly as it possibly can.
So where is your consciousness during the channel? Are you listening as well?
I'm not really capable of listening. It's almost like my consciousness gets sort of put off to the side. I'm aware that something is happening, but I often describe it as like being lost in a daydream where, like if you're having a very, very strong daydream, you're focused on something and somebody walks in the room and calls your name, they have to call it like two or three times before you even know that they're calling your name. It's sort of like that. It's what's happening in the room is very far away. The words are completely lost on me. I don't really pay attention or hear what's going on. But I'll sometimes feel energy, emotion. I'll see images, sometimes literal and abstract, based on something he might be describing. And I can sort of use the energy in whatever way I need to, but I don't really always have an understanding of exactly how the information is being translated through my brain and into words for the person that the information is being delivered to, and I don't need to. And then when I come out of the altered state, it's really like waking up from a dream, and it just fades and goes away. So it's a very different kind of experience. I often liken it to the idea that, you know, in my daily life, I'm the one that's in the driver's seat of, you know, my body. But when I'm channeling, it's like I slide over to the passenger seat and let Bashar do the driving. And I know we're going somewhere, and I can look out the window and look at other things, but I don't have to pay attention to the road. He's the one doing the driving.
Does Bashar ever connect with you when you're not in a channeled session? I mean, have you ever been in the checkout line at Safeway or something?
Well, it usually won't happen unbidden, but there have been a few times when the connection has occurred. However, I only need to go into the altered state when I need to act as a translation device so that the words can come out for someone else. The connection between Bashar and myself directly is simply telepathic, and so I can just get a thought download from him when I'm anywhere, and it'll just come as an instant thought, and I'll recognize that it might come with a certain feeling or a signature that lets me know it's more from his realm than it is just a random thought of my own, but it doesn't require any real time for that to occur. As an example, many, many years ago, I was very curious to know how their spacecraft worked, how they functioned, how they got from star to star so quickly and all that kind of stuff, and I really asked him, you know, to give me some kind of an understanding of the physics principles behind that, and I got a one-second download that took me 3 hours to actually write out on paper.
Huh.
So the concentration of information that happens telepathically is extremely condensed, and it doesn't require that I go into the altered state just to receive the information. It only requires that I go into the altered state for information to translate in real time to someone else.
Wow. So what are you doing with all that information? Are you going to work on a book or something?
We are certainly, we have one book out, Blueprint for Change, that's been out for a while, and we are in the process of putting information together in a number of different ways. April, who runs the website, is archiving all the information to make it more easily accessible to people to find the subjects that they're interested in more readily, more rapidly, and creating a number of different CDs and so forth that are subject-oriented. But Rand, we will also eventually put out more books as well.
Well, How Bashar's Ship Works. There you go. There's a title. So tell me, you're having this amazing event this weekend. We want to let everyone know.
as will happen, not as often as it used to, but now and then we'll still, Bashar will come through and speak at a public event, and that's coming up on June 23rd, Saturday night, in Studio City at the Beverly Garland Holiday Inn, and Sunday day from 10 to 4 at the same place. Saturday night, which I believe starts around 6:30 or 7, is what we have typically come to call a Q&A, where Bashar will come through and he'll deliver a monologue on some subject that he feels is important right now. And the majority of the two-hour session following the monologue will basically be open to questions and answers on any subject that someone might be interested in discussing with Bashar. Then Sunday, he's doing something quite unusual. They recognize that as we develop our own understanding of the principles that he's talking about and bring out new tools and new books and new ideas into our society, that sometimes they will come in and address those things that we've created and talk about how it resonates with what they're saying. And so this Sunday he will be actually addressing what's going on with The Secret, as many people now are familiar with, that's spreading pretty rapidly, it seems, through the metaphysical and spiritual community. And so Bashar is going to address a lot of the ideas that The Secret talks about and how it relates to some of the things he's been talking about for 23 years.
Yeah, well, it's not only spreading through the metaphysical community, but it hit mainstream, which was
significant. Yeah, over, which I think is in and of itself a sign of the kind of acceleration Bashar has been talking about, that the fact that these kinds of concepts are no longer restricted or limited to just a few people, but are really crossing mainstream lines.
Mm-hmm. Now, the cool thing about this event, other than all of what you've said so far, is the fact that people can tune in by phone.
Yes, for the first time, we're going to be doing a teleconference, and all the information on that is explained on the website, how to tune into that if you cannot physically attend the session itself. We absolutely welcome people to come in and listen in on the teleconference.
Now, this is why I got excited, because I've had the notices over the years about your events, and up till now haven't been able to attend on the dates that they were happening, and then I saw this and I thought, aha, I can be there and I can let our listeners know. So because we've got people in 111 countries around the world, and they can all phone in. So this is very exciting. Any kind of participation level for the people on the phones, or is it just they're tuning in and they can hear?
I think right now we're at the level technologically where the people can listen. I don't think right now we have the ability of the people listening on the phones to interact, but certainly they can hear the information live and get a sense of the energy. It's at least the closest thing we can do to being in the room at the time. In the future, I think we'll be looking into ways to make it more interactive. But considering that we'll probably have, you know, anywhere around like 100 people in the room asking questions, and I just don't think we've set up the technology yet to be able to extend that to the people on the phone. But we will be working on being able to do that in the future.
Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, it's this Saturday, this Sunday, if you're tuning in live here, and they go to Bashar.org for info?
Yes.
Okay, there
Bashar.org
you go.
Bashar.org is the website. It will explain everything about the CDs and all the information that's available, and how to join the teleconference as well.
Okay. Well, throughout the show, we've been introducing you to a few clips of Bashar. And as you can see, interesting energy, great information coming through. And I've always sort of described Bashar as Abraham Hicks meets Robin Williams meets, I don't know, something else. So I just love him. And I'll be tuning in, and I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Daryl, for doing the work that you're doing and stepping forward and
doing this.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much for doing this and helping us get the word out. We appreciate it very much.
Well, anything I can do to help, and hopefully it won't be another 5 years before we talk again.
Hopefully not.
All the best, Daryl. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Nicole. Appreciate
That's Daryl Anka, who channels Bashar, my favorite alien, who you can find at Bashar.org, and tune in to the event this weekend. If you're listening in the archives later, just go to the website and find out what's new.
Take a day of this day at a time. How are you all? Once again, we will take this opportunity, first of all, to thank each and every one of you for allowing this transmission to occur through this particular window and in this particular method at this time. Once again, each and every time, your civilization allows our civilization to communicate with you in this manner. It affords us an opportunity to experience, through each and every one of you, another aspect, another facet of the infinite, and this expands our understanding of all the different ways that creation can present itself, and so we thank you for this gift of sharing. We would like to begin this transmission with the following brief ideas to lay a little bit of what you call a foundation or a groundwork for the primary principle that will generally be contained in almost every subject that we will discuss this day of your time. So, many of you have heard us talk about certain tools, certain states of being, certain states of mind that will allow you to understand who you are a little bit more clearly. For it is in understanding the structure and the nature of yourself as a person and as a being that will allow you to make changes, make shifts in your reality in the manner that you desire, in the manner that you prefer, more effortlessly, with the idea of less pain, more joy. These ideas now are paramount for what you call this age of transition, this age of awareness on your planet, as you have named it, as you have deemed it.
Well, I think the crux of my question is, yes, is really, how do you balance out? You know, I have the old baggage, so to speak, of times when I used to do that, what I thought was 100%, and enjoying it, but having, you know, monetary problems.
But then you knew you were not really doing it 100%. Because, again, understand, it's all about defining the concept of abundance and how you relate to the concept of abundance. Are you familiar with our definition of abundance?
I don't think so.
All right. I will share it with you if I may.
Okay.
Oh, are you paying attention?
Yes, I am.
Abundance. The ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it. Period. Did you hear anything in that definition that said anything about money?
No.
Did you hear anything in that definition that said anything about any particular way in which the abundance had to come?
No.
The ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it. That's abundance. Period. Now, it can come in the form of money, but we understand that on your planet very often you are trained to think that money is the only representation of abundance, and when you have a definition that focuses you on money being the only doorway through which abundance can come, then you're actually closing and locking all the other doorways through which the ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it could actually come to you, because you refuse to identify or label those things equally as abundant as money. You follow me?
I do follow.
Now, when you allow all manner of abundance to be equal and equally valid, then whatever is the way that is the path of least resistance can come to you, be it money,
be it someone gifting you something, being it that you simply synchronistically happen across a circumstance that allows you to do what you need to do, be it any way that it may come. Then, when they're all equal, the one that is the path of least resistance can flow to you without resistance because you're allowing it not to have a specialness that singles it out and focuses an undue amount of energy on that particular way needing to be the way to manifest your abundance. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so, in moving forward, now with your new understanding of following your excitement, can you apply this definition to the idea and trust that whatever form of abundance needs to be there to allow you to do what you need to do will be all right, even if it doesn't come in the form that you might expect it ought to?
Well,
that usually means no.
I'm trying really hard.
Oh, I know, but you see, that's the problem.
I know.
Don't try so hard.
I'm one of the people that complicates things more than needs to be.
All right, well, so. I guess you find that a help.
But I guess that's part of my problem. My question was, you know, I was trying to strip away those old belief systems and things that I have experienced in the past for whatever reason.
Yes, well, here's the paradox. And it goes back to the issue of saying that you don't want to waste time spending time going through the process. The more you enjoy the process itself, the faster it will go. That's the paradox. The more you're all right with the process itself of discovering what your beliefs are as an act unto itself that's worth having, the faster it will go, because the faster you will be using it up by staying right with it, by being excited about having that process. So that in and of itself is an art form. The first art form to master is simply being here and now with what is happening, trusting that what is happening for a reason. Otherwise, it wouldn't be happening. So if you are willing to accept that whatever part of the process is happening for the purpose of putting you in touch with more of yourself, so that you can expand and get that reflection back from reality of your expansion, then you will be excited about anything the process has to show you. It will actually be experienced as a piece of performance art. And by getting into it and diving into it and being the performance artist and the art piece itself, then you will allow it to move very rapidly through you, to process very rapidly, because you're willing to accept everything that's happening as necessary, as a part of the piece, as a part of the art, as something to look at, as something to investigate, as something that will increase your understanding of who and what you are as a co-creator. If you look at it that way and stay in that energy, believe me, very quickly you will explode in many different directions, and your reality will explode toward you with many different things that will support you. Does that make sense?
Very much so, yes.
Does that help?
Yeah, it helps. Yes, it's great.
Does it answer your question?
It does answer my question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, good day.
Hi.
All right, hi.
You have a very strong voice.
It is not my voice. We understand that our energy may allow the channel's vocal cords to operate in a higher magnitude than normal.
Cool.
But don't let that dissuade you. You have a loud voice and a strong presence as well. Use it.
All
Be
right.
bold. Speak up so that all may hear what you have to share.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I just wanted to ask about a few weird things that have been going on.
Yes.
With my body. My head just sort of rings all the time and I have a terrible...
Then answer it.
Smart aleck. And I have a pain in my neck. And I just wondered, what's going on?
You do not get rid of things, you transform them.
Okay.
May I ask you, as we have already said, what you call the $64 million question? Or do you already know what I'm going to ask you?
No, please ask.
Are you following your highest joy?
Well, I hope
hesitation
so.
Usually means no.
No.
Phrases like, well, I hope so, usually mean no. Because if you were following your highest joy, you would instantaneously say yes.
Yeah,
without right. hesitation.
Well, what is my highest joy?
You tell me.
Oh, gosh.
I can give you some hints and some clues.
I'd appreciate
if you want
that.
Some help.
That would be good.
Oh, all right, if you say so. Your highest joy, and this goes generally, first of all, for all of you, is to be yourself as best as you know how. In following and acting on your highest joy does not have to be a big mystery, does not have to be a complicated issue, does not have to necessarily represent itself as a lifelong career or project. Start simple, with simple steps. If you have no overwhelming project or career in mind or anything of that nature, then start moment to moment. Following your highest joy then entails nothing more than this. Are you paying attention?
Yes.
All right. Just checking. At every given moment, you have available to you a number of options of things you could choose to do, don't you? All you have to do is pick the one that has the highest level of excitement in it and do it to the best of your ability. That's all you have to do. And in the next moment, take another assessment. What out of all the options available to me right now is the option and the opportunity and the situation and the circumstance and the direction that contains the highest amount of excitement and joy? And when you have determined what that is, take whatever action you are capable of taking on it as far as you can take it to the best of your ability, and when you can take it no farther, again, ask yourself, out of all the options available to me now, what is the direction that contains the highest joy? And when you find out what that is, take that action to the best of your ability and keep doing that for the rest of your life. Because excitement is the thread that leads you to all other excitement. That is the energy that leads you to yourself. Regardless, important, regardless of how it looks, regardless of whether you think it's connected to something you're supposed to be doing or not, regardless of its outward appearance, because you already know you can't judge a book by its cover, excitement is the content that lets you know this thing here now is you. Do it. Because by doing it, you are making a statement to the universe full of conviction that it is you. And then the universe can support who you actually are, rather than supporting who you've been told you have to be. You follow me?
Yes.
Now, one thing you must also understand. Sometimes, because we know how you have been taught, and this goes for all of you, I'm not just talking to you personally, you must allow yourself to be honest as to whether you're actually experiencing excitement or anxiety. Because sometimes many of you will go, oh yes, this excites me. And in fact, what you're actually doing is running away from your excitement. And you're actually following something out of anxiety. But you all know the difference when you're honest with yourself, because you know they feel different. And in actual fact, they are the same energy. Your energy, your natural energy, is experienced by your body as the sensation you call excitement when you flow that energy through belief systems that are in alignment with your harmonious natural self. You feel the very same energy as anxiety and fear when you flow your energy through belief systems that are out of tune, out of harmony with your natural self. And that's what fear is for. To tell you, hey, you're feeling fear because you are running your energy through belief systems, beliefs that you have, definitions that you have about this situation that are out of alignment with your true harmonious self. So find out what those definitions are, change them into definitions that you would prefer to have, run your energy through those, and then your relationship with the circumstance will be harmonious and joyful. And you will approach it in a manner that is harmonious and joyful. And in approaching it in that manner, you will get a harmonious and joyful effect out of it. Is this making some physical sense to you?
Yes. It's getting a little excitement going.
Oh, all right. That's the whole point. I also leave you with this understanding, and I understand that we understand. I know sometimes
how difficult this concept is for many of you on your planet, but it is that simple. It really is that simple. Now, you can make it more complicated if you want to. I'm not going to take that away from you. Because it's your reality. You all have free will, and we are not here to tell you what to do. If you want to make your life more complicated, please go ahead and do so.
Well, I prefer not to, if you don't mind.
All right. Well, if you prefer not to, then you must allow yourself to create definitions that allow you to function more simply. So when you find yourself stuck, when you find yourself feeling blocked, understand it's usually due to a definition you have that is more complicated than it needs to be. Out of alignment with your true self. Find out what the definition is that would make you relate or feel the way you do to the situation. Change it into the definition you would prefer to have with your imagination. Know, this is key, know that when you've created the new definition, it's automatically in place. If you want to go through a long, involved process to replace the old one, that's up to you too, but that only complicates things. But if you know it's automatically replacing the old one, then all you have to do is behave like you know it has replaced the old one, and you will see the effect in your reality. However, big however, underline it 1,000,000 times. However, this is critical. One of the most critical things we can say to you about the idea of looking to your reality for change. And that is this. Do not look to the reality for the change first. You must simply know you have changed. And you must behave differently toward the reality outside you, even if it looks the same as it did before. When you behave differently, when you behave as if you have changed, regardless of how the reality still may look, that's when you really have changed and when your reality can then really reflect the change. But if you are waiting for the reality to show you that you have changed, then you haven't changed. Because you're simply waiting for the reflection in the mirror to smile first. Instead of simply smiling first, because that's what you prefer, regardless of whether there's any mirrors around or not. Are you getting the point?
Yes.
Is it sinking in?
It is sinking in.
Is it helping?
Heck yes.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
Yes.
Hi, Bashar.
And are you good day?
This is Doreen.
Oh, all right, if you insist.
I have been working with, well, first of all, I've been married for 26 years to a non-metaphysical man.
Oh, all right, non-metaphysical man. Is that the name of the person? Non-metaphysical
no.
man.
No, his name is Jerry.
Oh, all right. Jerry the non-metaphysical man. Now, first of all, before we go on, you do understand that many people on your planet will be living the lives they need to live without necessarily knowing a stitch about the idea you call metaphysics.
Yes, he did.
All right.
He did that.
All right.
So presently, though, I'm working with twin flame energy on the inner plane.
Oh, all right.
And
is this fun for you?
Yes, we're accomplishing a world service work.
All right.
So
is this representative of your highest joy?
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, thank you.
So my question about that is, will I soon be in a new relationship, and will we...
Is this the voice of expectation?
Yes.
Are you saying you don't trust your reality to take you where you need to go?
It looks a little...
A little what? Looks a little what? What picture
incredible.
Are you putting on it?
Incredible.
Meaning what? What is incredible? What are you defining as incredible? Can you be specific?
What am I defining? The work...
What are you defining as incredible?
Beyond words.
But the idea... You are asking a question. Will I do this? Will this happen? And I asked you back, are you not trusting that your reality will take you where you need to be? What was the answer to that question?
I do try. It's difficult.
You try?
Yes.
What's difficult? What is the difficulty you are experiencing?
To trust the direction that this appears to be taking.
Why is that difficult? Why is it easier for you to trust in another direction?
Because I feel unworthy.
You feel unworthy. All right. Thank you for your honesty. That's all right. Now, why do you feel unworthy? What are your reasons for feeling unworthy? You must have them, or you wouldn't feel unworthy.
This is big.
Well, does it fit in the room you are in? Did you get it through the door?
Not yet. It hasn't happened yet.
All right, this is big. Are you implying that this is a lot to handle? Is that what you mean by this is big?
Yes.
All right. Well, you can start simply. I'm not necessarily assuming that you will give me every single aspect of it in 25 words or less, as you say. But you can start with something. Why is it that you feel unworthy? What one reason can you give me that allows you to feel unworthy?
I'm carrying a spiritual child.
You are carrying a spiritual child?
Yes.
What does that have to do with feeling unworthy?
It's the child that makes me feel unworthy.
No, that is impossible. Well, only you can make yourself feel unworthy.
That's right.
So, be more specific.
The energy of this child is much higher than mine.
So?
So my question is, do I have the ability to bring this into physical reality?
Well, let me ask you this question. May I?
Yes.
Do you believe that creation creates pointless creation? Or do you believe that everything fits? I'll ask you another way. Let us use an analogy. Let us say that you have what you call on your planet a fine china vase or cup in your hand. Can you picture this?
Okay.
Have you got it? Is it a vase or a cup?
A cup.
A cup. All right. Now, drop the cup in your imagination and see it shatter on the floor. Have you seen this? You see it shatter into pieces on the floor?
Yes.
All right. Now, here is my question. If you were to pick those pieces up and assemble them, would they assemble back into a cup? This is not a trick question. Would they assemble back into a cup?
By what substance?
Would they assemble back into a cup?
Yes.
Yes, of course, because you dropped a cup and it broke into pieces. And the pieces on the floor are the pieces of a cup. So the idea is that you understand when you see the pieces on the floor that every single piece there has a place where it fits to go back into the concept of becoming a whole cup. There are no extraneous pieces. You're not going to find extra pieces, are you?
No.
Are you?
If I gathered them all, no.
And if you gathered them all, you're not going to be missing any.
Right.
You follow? And let's, for the sake of this illustration, simply say that the pieces didn't go that far. You can see every single one of them so that you know you're going to have exactly just the right amount of pieces and that when you assemble them, they are going to be a cup. Are you following me so far?
Yes.
Therefore, you must understand that every single thing in creation is such a piece of the whole. There are no extraneous pieces, and there are no pieces missing. Everything fits into one big puzzle picture. You follow? Everyone is a piece, a puzzle piece of one big puzzle picture. You follow?
Yes.
And therefore, when everyone is simply who they need to be, when everyone is the shape they were created to be, when everyone is the piece of the puzzle that they were created to be, then they fit where they belong, and they add their piece to the whole picture and support the whole. And there's no leftover pieces, and there's no pieces missing. You follow me?
Yes.
So, if you are the one with whom the child made the agreement, doesn't that automatically, by definition, mean you must belong together? Or the child would have made an agreement with someone else?
Yes.
Well, are you getting the point?
Yes.
Then you must be equal, or it couldn't exist. And it is only your assumption that you are not equal that makes you experience the inequality. It's only your definition that you are not equal that allows you to experience inequality as a tangible reality. But it doesn't mean it's empirically true. Because if it were empirically true, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Because you wouldn't have this to talk about. Because it wouldn't exist in your reality. Because there are no pointless creations. and there are no pieces that are not where they don't belong. You follow that?
Mm-hmm.
Is this making some sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Is this helping to illuminate and lighten up the whole picture for you?
Yes, yes. Energetically and
in that's where it begins. Let it sink in. It will permeate every aspect of your being. It will permeate every other area wherein you might still insist that you are not worthy. But if you really, 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 and this goes for all of you, if you really, really, really were not worthy in the way most of you think, you wouldn't exist at all. In a sense, if I may put this somewhat colloquially and somewhat poetically, there is a very, very large paradox at work. When people on your planet think that they are unworthy, it's actually one of the most arrogant things you can say. One of the most egotistical things you can say. Because what you are saying is that, yes, everything in the universe fits perfectly except me. I stand out as the only unworthy aspect of all of creation. Look at me. You see the paradox in saying you are unworthy? Because truly, if you really were unworthy, you wouldn't be in existence at all, because creation would not have created something that didn't belong. And by really saying you're unworthy and really allowing yourself to believe that you are unworthy, what you're telling the Creator is that the gift of existence is worthless. The gift you have given is worthless. I throw it back in your face. Now, the Creator loves you unconditionally, so the Creator doesn't mind. Because the Creator loves you all so unconditionally that the Creator allows you to even believe you are not worthy. That's how loved and worthy you are. Because you have total freedom to believe whatever you want. That's how loved and supported you are. And if you want to believe you're unworthy, creation says, okay, I love you none the less. And I will allow you to believe what you choose to believe, but the proof is that you exist. And if you stop and take a moment to really think about it, you will realize that your very existence means you must be worthy, because creation would not have created you were you not. Because you are an aspect of the infinite. Remember the second law? You are an aspect of the one, and you are the one, pretending, in a sense, to be a part of the one. So if you're saying I'm unworthy, you're saying it's all worthless.
Attention, like-minded business owners. Do you have an amazing solution? A product or service for the soul? Something we can't find out about in mainstream media? Then we have a solution for you. News for the Soul is airing its Solutions for the Soul networking fundraiser show, and you could be one of our guests. This is an amazing opportunity to join host Nicole Whitney on the air to talk about your solution and share your information with the world. All guests must be pre-screened, and there is a fee to participate. All proceeds directly keep the News for the Soul show archived totally free for the world to hear, and all interviews are aired indefinitely online after the show. To find out more, go to newsforthesoul.com and click on the Solution Show banner now. That's newsforthesoul.com. And don't let fear stand in your way. This could be your turn to shine in the News for the Soul spotlight.
In December 2005, News for the Soul host Nicole Whitney experienced the most dramatic, life-changing psychic reading of her life. In that brief 10-minute mini-session, she released years of emotional baggage when Carrie O'Connor connected with a recently deceased family member, bringing Nicole a life-changing message from beyond the grave. since that fateful day, Nicole has invited Carrie O'Connor on as a regular News for the Soul guest to do readings on the air. But you do not have to wait. Carrie is available for private sessions right now. Nicole has laughingly suggested wearing goggles and a helmet for these sessions because of the powerful energy that seems to come through Carrie when she's doing a reading. But don't take our word for it. Experience it for yourself. So pack up your goggles and helmet and book your life-changing session with Carrie O'Connor today. Go to InsideOut-OutsideIn.com. That's InsideOut-OutsideIn.com.
Who are you? Why are you here? What is the meaning of life? These burning questions have plagued mankind throughout our existence. How would you like to experience a process that would allow you to have some of the answers? Answers that would cause you to live with higher awareness and deeper authenticity from now on? Well, you can. Warrior Sage is offering an experiential 5-day enlightenment workshop called Illumination Intensive. Regularly about $3,000 to attend, Satya and Raja of Warrior Sage is offering this life-changing 5-day course to News for the Soul listeners totally for free. That's right. The tuition has been completely waived for all News for the Soul listeners. Satyan says this experience is so profound, he wants to share it with the world. So don't miss out on this special opportunity. To have your own direct experience of awakening with Warrior Sage, go to IlluminationIntensive.com now and tell them News for the Soul sent you. That's IlluminationIntensive.com.
How would you like to learn how to bend metal with your mind for real? Well, you can. News for the Soul is home to the one and only Spoon Bending Kit, an instantly downloadable digital gift that contains 2 hours of audio and visual instructions designed to get your mind out of the way and teach you how to truly affect solid matter just with your thoughts. Find out once and for all how you are affecting your reality with every thought you think. Don't let anything block you from creating the life that you want. Download the newsforthesoul.com Spoon Bending Kit today. Just go to newsforthesoul.com right now and click on the bent spoon. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hey, this is Dave Morehouse, and you're listening to News for the Soul.
Enlightened, having knowledge and spiritual insight, freedom from illusion. Enlightened dating, an idea whose time has come. It is time for relationships that transcend the old fear-based paradigm of power plays, control dramas, stereotypes, and conditioned response. EnlightenedDating.com offers introductions and support for conscious dating. EnlightenedDating.com is about synchro destiny rather than the volume of memberships or regional location. Enlightened daters operate in the realm of all possibility, far beyond limitation of the conditioned mind. And it is not just a meeting place. Inside, you'll access the best in support and training from conscious relational experts from around the world. Ongoing interviews, webinars, and more support the search and journey in conscious relationship, all free, 24/7, for all members at EnlightenedDating.com. LifeChangingTV.com is a model of conscious journalism, documenting evolution of human consciousness through high-quality video programming. A combination of metaphysical awareness and an open, honest sense of inquiry relay the true story through alternative media that will blow your mind. Founders Nicole Whitney and Peter Williams started the channel after meeting in March 2005, drawing from Whitney's journalism background and Peter's experience as a cameraman for CNN. Since the project began, they have been able to interview many luminaries from around the world, including Stuart Wilde, John Kehoe, Dr. David Morehouse, Anne Marie Evers, John Hutchison, and others. To watch this fresh, unfiltered, cutting-edge information online, become a subscriber. Visit LifeChangingTV.com and click the Join button. It's that simple. LifeChangingTV.com, making the world a better place, one frame at a time.
It's not just a show. It's a movement. You're listening to News for the Soul, the number one life-changing radio show in the world, according to Google and AOL, and the largest free life-changing audio resource on the web. We feature the top luminaries in the evolution of human consciousness and have kept all of our shows all free, all of the time, for the world to hear. In a recent listener survey, News for the Soul listeners responded with overwhelming appreciation and praise, which they summarized with this one powerful statement. News for the Soul is not just a show. It's a movement.
Go to newsforthesoul.com to see for yourself. That's newsforthesoul.com.
This has been News for the Soul with Nicole Whitney. Visit us anytime online at www.newsforthesoul.com, where you can listen to all our previously aired shows at any time and so much more. Have a great week, and remember, what you focus on expands.